Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Son. Hey, Buzzers, what's going on? Thank you for joining us for another fantastic episode of the Arrow After Show. We definitely have tons to talk about, but first, don't forget to join us as a co-host. All you have to do is hashtag Arrow, or ABTV Arrow, I shall say. And yes, I would like to start by introducing all these fabulous hosts going down the line with KT first.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxe. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We also have the live chat up on screen, so if you're in the live chat, we're watching what you're saying. Hello. And we will be checking that hashtag tonight as well.
Hi, I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. It's M-S-E-D-R-I-E-N-S-N-O-W. It's very long.
I am Lex Michael. Twitter, Instagram, all the stuff. My handle is at the Lex Michael.
And, of course, I'm Allie Kona Bradford. You can find me at BoysandBeauty01 on Twitter and on YouTube, Boys and Beauty with Allie Kona, where we talk fun boys and beauty stuff. So, yeah, self-explanatory. Anyways, so tonight, first and foremost, Allie for mayor. Yes! Who here has his vote?
No. I love that the reaction across the board was just, oh, honey, no. Yeah.
Maybe he'll run unopposed.
No.
Well, if enough people die.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is a little sad, though, when your friends are like, so, wait, for real?
I'd love to see the counterpoint to this be Damien Dark step up and run
for
mayor.
Oh, that would be great.
I would love for that to happen, just for the sheer, oh my god, really factor of it.
Damien Dark is so charismatic.
He is. He's horrifyingly charismatic.
He just is.
That's actually something that the actor had said about, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but he was saying he's purposely playing this role as a 9-year-old that is just stubborn and selfish and all these other things, but he wants to have that little element of comedy and youth, but just, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he does it very well.
He does.
Also, too, I was a little, not thrown off, but a little like, whoa, okay, so we have Sebastian Blood's old lair going on, and he had a lot of stuff underneath his office.
Well, I think they just brought that in through Star Labs. It was just that he had the space for them
just
to
the
do
space.
It.
Yeah, okay.
Just the space.
Oh, no, he was definitely kidnapping people, injecting them with Mirakuru, which is why I love the comment about, I burned a lot of incense. Just like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like, we all know what happened down there.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
Okay, but for me, that would give me the heebie-jeebies and give me a lot of bad juju, and I would never start my campaign somewhere where all that happened.
But look at how clean they made it.
It's the best place to do it. Oh. The offices themselves are still intact, and that's the public-facing part, so you've already got a leg up there, and the fact that it has the underground real estate that you need since your previous lair was compromised,
multiple times.
Well, yeah, the people most just recent, walk through the front door.
The most recent previous lair was compromised.
Yeah. So maybe this time door locks?
No, I mean, stairs?
No, they have an elevator.
Secret,
that,
yeah.
Like, maybe it'll be. Oh, it's. Isn't it?
It's like a wall.
It's
that's
hidden behind a wall.
It's like hidden behind a wall. And yeah. I forget what that's called. Bio something.
Biometrics?
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. Sure, why
smart.
Not?
Yeah,
whatever. You know how to pronounce biometrics. Thank you, Thea. No, that was the Thea quote.
It was.
He said that to Oliver. I love you. I would not make fun of you.
I
like
really
that.
Thought you were saying
I'd
that
make fun of Tari like that, but not you.
I'm so confused.
I got it.
What? Okay.
No,
yeah.
It was a
what
quote
happened?
From the episode.
What happened? Okay. Yes.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about how desperate this city is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously we have these crooked cops going on, and Katie's laughing because she's reading.
I'm reading chat from Guihone. I cannot read your name. I'm sorry. The interns from Nanda Parbat cleaned it.
The new HQ. She did say we had a lot of help. And he said, or Felicity said Cisco and Star Labs, but that's what, five people?
That didn't do a whole lot.
It's also Barry, though. And we saw Barry fix up jitters in a night.
That's, that's a fair point.
Very
fair point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fair point.
Actually, you know what? Change the subject. That makes me think of Felicity right off the top. And all these messages, because we theorized last week that possibly maybe Ray is alive.
It's totally
it's
Ray.
Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no way it's not.
Well, yeah. I don't know if did anyone watch the Arrow sizzle reel?
Oh, yeah. And the Legends of Tomorrow preview.
They you'd have to really be staring at it really hard like I was and see it, and you see like a flash of Ray on a computer being like, Felicity.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
so he's tiny and inside the computer. So.
Oh, okay.
I spoiled it.
No, it's okay. We talked about it. Inevitably,
he is coming back because he's one of the leads on the new show.
Well, they spoiled it on the Legends of Tomorrow trailer. Like, they straight up showed the shrink and grow, and he said, yeah, I was just tiny for 6 months.
Well, if you're a comic Spoilers. Book fan, then you know like what right. Adam is, what it's about, and what happened. So
I just like that, and I always want to call him Mr. Terrific. What the heck is his name when he's not terrific yet?
Curtis.
Okay, I love that Curtis was the one that pushed Felicity to actually explore it a little bit more, and I really didn't know why she didn't want to hear the last message. I mean, maybe it was blatant that who really wants to hear. I totally forgot.
Do you really want to hear someone die?
She thinks it's her fault, though. Isn't that also the thing, is that she kind of feels guilty about him dying and like how she was gone and all that kind of stuff, which is why I assume she didn't want to hear it.
Possibly.
Yeah, but for me, there would be a curiosity. I'm at the side with Curtis and say there would be a little bit of a curiosity, because what if he said something that was really important that you needed to hear? And it didn't necessarily need to be an I love you. It could have been anything else.
I don't think in that I love you would just be like, oh, but I left
like,
you.
But, right. Oh, that's awkward.
Awkward, yeah.
Right.
Real quick, since you brought up our future Mr. Terrific, I will say maybe my single favorite moment, being the giant nerd I am, of tonight's episode was when he was talking to Felicity about the Palmer Tech employee that he suspects is the Green Arrow, and he drops the name Neil Adams. Now, I don't know, you're maybe not as big a comic nerd as I am. You're smiling, so you know what I'm talking about. Neil Adams is, for my money, one of the most legendary comics creators in the history of the business. He's worked for Marvel, DC quite extensively. Wow. Most famous probably for some of the work he did drawing Batman for a number of years. But super, super relevant because he also co-created with Denny O'Neill the Green Lantern, Green Arrow run in the 70s, which has become known as Hard Traveling Heroes and is to date, Katie, tell me if you know different, one of the most well-known, well-regarded stories to ever feature the Green Arrow character.
I don't know about that statistics-wise, but I know I got it from the library and enjoyed the hell out of it.
It's quite good.
Oh, it's super good.
It's quite good. So hearing that name just made me super happy.
Well, I mean, they've been really good about just tossing out little references here and there that sometimes pop up and sometimes don't as far as in future episodes, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, I didn't catch that one, so thank you for that little bit of information.
Yeah, well, also, we got Lady Cop tonight. Which Lady was Cop. Super exciting. Lady Cop, so...
Regina Wesley.
Regina Wesley's character, Liza... In the comics, that's a character called Lady Cop. And Lady Cop was created, made her debut in July 1975 in first issue special number 4. She was created by Robert Kaniger and Josh Rosenberger. And her backstory is that when she was younger, she hid under a bed while her roommates were killed by an unknown assailant wearing cowboy boots. And spurred on by this
so
desperate...
So to speak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that. Wow. Ouch.
No regrets.
That hurt me, though. So, driven by this desire to find and bring the killer to justice, she enrolls in the police academy. And it's what drives her throughout most of the character's appearances, or at least certainly early on. And as far as I know, the identity of that killer was never revealed. Now, I'm not sure, maybe you guys know, if we're going to be seeing a good deal more of Regina Wesley this season.
Yeah.
So then we might get little bits of that going forward.
I don't know. I feel like if they were going to do that, then she'd become a series regular, and I don't see them doing that with her. But yeah. I do see I know she is a recurring, and to bring on Regina Wesley, they wouldn't just do
you
like a one-off.
Why would you waste Regina Wesley?
Yeah, yeah. So she'll be back. I don't know if they're going to give her a backstory, though.
I want to say, speaking of justice, though, that was her big thing. Like, it was reiterated over and over again throughout this episode, and she was the one person that wasn't overly corrupt, I guess you could say, compared to everybody else.
She's still over a line, though.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty good cognitive dissonance, blah, 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 with we're breaking the law, but we're not criminals.
I just want to say how she stepped in and she said, you know, we're desperate, we're this, we're that, and the third. And then when Felicity hacks into her bank account, she's like, well, she's got a quarter of a mil, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bitch, you are not
desperate.
Yeah,
how desperate are you, really?
Yeah.
You can retire now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, well, now
a quarter of a million,
scene.
You can't really retire on that. Let's be real. 2015.
You can take a very nice vacation.
I mean, if you're smart, you'll invest in
years.
Stocks.
Yeah, if
buy
you
some
know
property,
how to, like, turn it over and everything,
it.
Then fine.
Right?
Yeah.
So she ain't that desperate. And then the other what moment for me was when she stabbed Oliver and, you know, she's like, oh, I could, you know, sever your spine, blah, blah, blah. And he's just there, chilling.
And then he's fine.
Yeah, the next day when he goes to visit Lance, he's walking around like nothing happened.
An hour later when he goes to visit Lance, I was like, well, what? I'm sorry.
I don't think that knife was in super deep.
It doesn't matter.
And it hurts. Oliver has been the walking wounded so many times in his life.
But there's
that
still, like, to see, at least have him kind of go, you know, when he, like, goes to leave, just to have that.
Right.
I'm sorry, but my stage combat teacher from college would be like, that's some bull. Like, he would be in pain. There would at least be some wincing going on.
Right.
So
he was just there hanging
Oliver.
Out.
Yeah.
Good old
was fine.
Stone face.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I do like, though, that this episode, Oliver finally evened the playing grounds between him and Detective Lance, because for so long, Lance made him feel like he was this small, you know, and that he was this better man, when really, he's just as dirty. On accident, but he's still going with the flow.
They just came up with that to kind of explain, like, why he was meeting. I thought Damian Dark had, like, blackmailed Detective Lance after the first episode to work with him, and then they had this whole backstory about how, like, he came to him before, and I was like, I didn't need
Lance,
you to tell me that.
Well, I think Lance probably tried to pull out once he realized what kind of person Dark was, and that was when it turned into, yeah,
oh, I got you.
Like, so,
oh,
no, you got this daughter,
yeah.
And
you can't quit.
You can't leave now. We're just getting started.
Something could happen.
Yeah.
Paul Blackthorne's acting this episode
was very good.
Amazing. Oh, my
God. And he had more to do tonight than he's had to do what feels like for the past year.
Yeah. Mm. And that just... I'm still sitting here going, oh,
well, because we've seen him for so long just be angry. That's all he ever is angry.
I did not like his acting.
Well, he lives in a constant state of pain, so.
That's okay.
I thought he had some lines that I was like, oh, why do you always give Detective Lance those types of lines? I feel really bad.
That's
not
who
his
used
fault.
To be
That's
with the League
fault,
of
though.
Assassins. The delivery on that was... But just
horrible.
The emotional bits, the bit with Sarah talking to Oliver when Oliver's accusing him of corruption, just, oh my God, that whole... Probably 5-6 minutes of screen time was just amazing. Best we've had in the season so far.
When he was, when people can't get the tears out when they need to be crying.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
On TV, I have very little sympathy for it because
wow.
Listen, as an actor, I know that if you can't do it emotionally, there's someone there who will, like, spray crap into your eye to get your eyes to glisten, or they'll put little tears. So when they're doing that and I'm like, there's no tears, it drives me insane, because then I'm like, okay, I don't believe you. You're not really there. You're not really upset. So I didn't believe him in that. But, you know, Detective Lance and I'm always like, oh God, stop.
Not everyone cries
not
like that. So I was 110% into it.
I don't know anyone who cries without tears.
Really?
No.
What kind of people do you hang out with?
People who cry. Wait, people who cry without tears?
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Crying without tears.
Yeah, you can be emotionally distraught without leaking.
So it's just like, and
yeah.
That's it?
For those of you watching and listening at home, I am just as riveted as you.
I don't.
Anyway.
It's disturbing.
Agree to disagree. Moving on.
Vern C. says that I don't cry at all. That's not fair.
Lies.
I don't believe that.
So he's in the no tear
kit.
He's in the no tear
kit.
Well,
I don't cry at all. We're talking
if you
about
ever
that cry
do cry,
tears.
I bet you're going to have some tears, my friend.
Yeah.
If you ever get the pain out.
Not everyone cries.
So, but
it
on
happens.
On that note, we're talking about emotions, we're talking about character interactions, and this episode, more than anything else we've gotten this season, and we've talked a little bit before about, it seems like, tonally, especially, they took a bit of a note from Flash. Whole thing feels brighter, whole thing feels bigger, especially as we're starting to build towards things that are going to tie directly into Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we know next week we're going to get Constantine, and it's going to be presumably a very magic, mysticism-driven episode. So to see this episode felt to me like a really nice back-to-basics
pit stop on the way there. There were a lot of elements that I feel like we haven't seen in a while. For whatever reason, the first one that popped in my head is, we haven't seen the salmon ladder in a while. Good.
The
salmon ladder is the thing where
what the salmon ladder is. That's what convinced me.
You have failed this city.
We haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
I have missed that so much.
He said that, he said it to Felicity. About the egg.
That was joking. To have it actually in the show and be like, for Cirrus, hey, now we mean business. And I have missed that so much.
Also, a return to a focus on more street-level vigilantism, crime-fighting, which, again, I feel like we have started to move away from, especially last year was all very with the League of Assassins. Very operatic. And
discount IKEA Nanda Parbat.
Exactly, yes. And so this, again, felt very much like something a little more in line with what we were used to seeing maybe in the first couple of years of this show. And I also think it is worth mentioning this episode was directed by Lexi Alexander, who is known best, I would say, for doing the Green Street Hooligans, that movie, and also doing Punisher Warzone. And if you take a look at some of the way she executed action in tonight's episode, you can see. I mean, she mastered how to do these types of stories, these types of sequences, a long time ago. And so, to me, if you're going to get somebody like Alexi Alexander to do an episode of one of these shows, it is entirely fitting, and I'm glad to see that that's the route they went, to focus on the more grounded, the more street level, and that type of story that we, again, haven't seen from the show in what feels like a long time.
I will say, I wish they had saved the Lady Cop storyline for even after the Constantine introduction, just because it would have been nice to have like a more of a focus on Lady Cop, and then also to just get directly to the point with Sarah.
Sure.
Because I didn't really want to wait around to hear about it. That's what I thought they were going to lead with, and when they didn't, I was like, oh, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. I thought it was interspersed well, though, because a lot of the focus this episode, I mean, we have Oliver's mayoral campaign such as it is,
right. But
a lot of the focus on this episode was on Captain Lance and how all aspects of his life are going to pieces. It's one of those things where we have work and we have home and we have, you know, other things, and we're only allowed to lose two of the three at a time. You need a balance. And his everything has just completely fallen apart. His daughter's back from the dead but doesn't know him. His other daughter is the one that did it. He's in way too deep with Damian Dark, and now he has corrupt cops who are people that, at the end of the day, he should be able to trust. At the moment, he's got nothing to turn to and nothing that's stable. And so I feel like if we were going to address this, we needed it now. Could we have done it with someone that isn't Lady Cop? Quite possibly, yes. But either which way, this is the story that needed to happen right now in order for us to get Lance back on the good guy side and playing double agent against Damian, which makes me think he is going to be the one in the grave.
I'm thinking that more and more.
That's going to occur. There's no way Damian will take that lightly.
And to your point about these are people that Lance should have been able to trust, they mentioned specifically that Lady Cop herself was handpicked by Lance when he was a detective to be on. So it's another example, and we're already seeing a lot of that this season, but Lance's good intentions gone completely awry.
Let's even talk about Sarah, though, and her introduction to Lance, because when Laurel, first of all, I was so mad at Laurel because she's so nonchalant about the entire situation, walking in like, you know, I told you no more secrets. Oh, hey, P.S., by the way, there's your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I think Laurel is so disillusioned at this point because, and maybe, obviously, with Constantine coming, there's going to be a little bit of a solution to the problem, but here's Sarah in chains, and she's got these pictures, and she's just like, here, sister, boop, 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 do you remember? Oh. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just want to slap her.
How did you not get that book
out of her?
She's in denial. Here's the thing. She's made this action. She's committed to this action. And now she has to back it up, even though it's obviously not working.
Yep.
She has to attempt to be stable or pretend to be stable because she knows that her dad's going to absolutely lose his noise when she brings him down. So she has to be the one to say, it has to work, it has to work. She made this action. She forced this action at this point. It was her idea to go to Nanda Parbat. It was her idea to use the frog water. All of it. Whole nine yards. She has come too far, and she cannot turn back now.
I do think, though, they choose weird moments to make Laurel, like, not as savvy. Because there are moments where she's incredibly savvy.
Right.
Like, when she first meets Cisco to get the canary yell. That's, like, a very savvy Laurel coming into it. But with this, you know, having just come off the episode where she's been made aware that there's going to be like a bloodlust that comes with coming out of the Lazarus pit and seeing it affect Thea, for her to turn her back on her sister at any moment is just like, no, you know, right. You just saw what happened. You know what right. Thea did. And so that was one thing that I was like, I can see her introducing Detective Lance, my brain just fried it.
Dad
to Sarah to be like, I don't want to keep any secrets from you. But then to like be like, see, she's fine, and then like, no,
yeah, now that, you're that wasn't, stupid.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we call a high intelligence score and a low wisdom score. She and, has been failing her saving roles.
Well, and oh. The very first thing Lance says when he sees her is, "That's not her."
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know,
and she's too committed to back down at this point. She can't admit, I did the wrong thing. I never should have done this. Because then you have to step back and go, oh my God, what did I do to my sister? Mm-hmm. Well, and she can't face that.
I don't know. I mean, if I were given the choice, I can't say that I wouldn't be like, into the Lazarus pit you go!
Yeah, but you haven't been through hell the past, like, 5 years.
Well, so, but that's you're the thing. In a position like, all to make more a logical reason. Choice. No, I'm saying that I can't say that I wouldn't throw somebody into the Lazarus pit and, like, yank them out. Like, that would be, if given the opportunity, especially if it was someone I loved and I had been through hell for the past 5 years and this person was a rock for me, then, yeah, I would throw them in the Lazarus pit and yank them out and be like, okay, let's figure
even
it out
even with all
after.
Those warnings, though? Like, from people who've experienced it over and over again.
Well, with that said, you know, there is, as much as there is, like, seeing Thea have the bloodlust, there's also seeing, well, Thea's here, and Thea's alive. And for the most part, Thea is still Thea. So that would be something as well. That would be like, well, okay, then we can get her back. We can do it in this way.
Right.
But they also have Merlin saying, we're in uncharted waters. Right. We've never done this before. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And choosing to take that risk and hoping it pans out, at this point, we're less in the hoping stage and more in the it's gonna work stage. Because the alternative is unthinkable.
I'm just wondering when Oliver is going to find out, to be honest with you. And if it were me,
when
and
she
at this
has
point,
to go admit that
right,
she got
she
away.
Needs, she, I like her, one of the things that she said was, you know, I really don't want his judgment on this. Like, screw the judgment. You need help. And
Oliver can't judge. He did the exact same thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. But he did the exact
like,
same thing.
I feel like he would have some sort of little bit more knowledge. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I feel like I just think of him as being wiser because he's been through so much with the island, with everything. Thing. The first person I would turn to would be him. Like, you already did it. You can't reverse it at this point. What's he going to do? Yell at you? He'll get over it? Help me.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop him from failing his wisdom roles, though. Like, he's bad at it sometimes.
It seems to be a fairly common problem on this show. Occasionally, people's judgment will just fail them.
I love it.
It's
so much fun.
It is consistently amusing, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, this is so irrelevant to any storyline, guys, but it's something that I noticed that bothered me a little bit. I don't know why I noticed it for the first time this time. But I was watching Diggle fight, and it was the first fight when they got their butts pretty much handed to them because they were unprepared with all these gadgets. And as he's fighting, he turned around, and I was like, wait, there's not a back to your helmet right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I noticed
just a strap.
That tonight as well.
I was like, what the... Why is the point of that? So your face is protected, but someone can crack
Diggle's,
your skull?
Diggle's uniform is by far the worst of everyone.
Good night.
I mean, they're not all really that protected, but yeah, his helmet is just ridiculous. I need
it. Where is that helmet? It's just a face mask.
If somebody in the audience can answer this question definitively, because I noticed that as well, and I had thought before this episode there was an arrest of the helmet.
It might be just to really disguise him. It may not be... to kind of protect him in any way, because he's not really that protected, you know?
I feel like it might have been a prop or editing mistake. Like, for some reason, the actual one wasn't in that take. They weren't expecting him to turn around something, and then it just wound up being one of those...
Whoops.
Well, the internet's going to kill us for that one, but okay.
I saw it in the second one, too. If you saw it in the first fight, I saw it in the second fight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so well, in that case. Oops.
I don't think it's... I don't know if maybe it's because he didn't want to wear, like, a face mask, or people saying...
I don't know. Help him out. His whole costume.
The back is missing many times.
Vern C. in the live chat says, the back is missing many times. Does that imply, Vern C., that it is not there sometimes, and there sometimes?
Like, in other episode, did you guys... I swear, because I remember thinking, oh, he looks like the Rocketeer in other episodes. So I feel like there was a back at one point.
I think it might just be the front.
Huh.
Looks like the Rocketeer.
I don't know.
Okay,
Is it shaped like a T, though?
Can anyone on Twitter find... Because I don't think you can link pictures in chat, and it'll scroll by too quickly for us to see. Can anyone on Twitter find us any screenshots of Diggle's helmet from the side or from the back? So we can see for sure if it has a back at any given point, or if it's always just been the Halloween store mask strap back there.
But with the fancy robot visor.
Yeah, okay. We put all the budget in the front half, and then the back half is just elastic and a prayer.
Yeah, the visor was really, really expensive, so we ran out of helmet money about halfway through.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like Oliver outgrew that halfway through season one.
Which?
The elastic.
Oh, the elastic, yeah. Well.
Spirit gum, you guys. Spirit gum.
Stick it on. You know, say, I would love how one moment, like in other seasons, he would be at a party and then all of a sudden he'd be chasing criminals, but he had his green eyeshadow on. I'm like, when the hell did you have time to put all that eyeshadow
on? You know he just does this and calls it good.
Yeah, well.
It's not like he's winging it like a master back there. It's just like, we good? Go.
Could you imagine?
Game face.
Guys. Okay, I can fight crime now.
So stupid. So stupid.
Thea sitting him down and helping him apply his eyeliner. Like, Thea, it's fine. No, it's not. You're driving me crazy.
One side is higher than the other.
Don't blink so much.
Oh my God. It's like you've never done this before. I don't like sharp things near my eyes. Well, no kidding, but sit still.
You know, you just mentioned Thea, and I'm thinking about the first fight where they basically, like I said, had their butts handed to them. I was really expecting for Thea to come out on top because she's been having these issues with rage. And I don't know if it's because she killed somebody last episode, so the juice is gone, and now she's just fighting like normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have the rest of the team down and then Thea kicking ass and taking names with no gear. Yeah.
What I do love
is that we had this fight where the first one, they absolutely got beaten into the ground. And then you see in the second encounter, they've learned. We have a different frequency for the canary cry that's just as effective. We have them dodging the net. They've learned from all of these mistakes. Mm. And I love that we have that, and I love getting to see that.
Yeah.
Because we're making the same mistakes over and over again is the quickest way for me to want to hit you in the face with a clue by four.
Clue by four.
That's good. It's also
I've said that to you guys before.
I feel like this is the first time I've heard clue by four.
Yeah.
But no, you know, not for nothing. It's also the quickest way that they'd get themselves killed. I do want to jump back a couple of thoughts ago, talking about Thea and how the bloodlust seems to have abated. I believe last episode, Malcolm made a comment after
about
he had her kill the dudes.
Yeah.
Said like, "No, you're good now. You're fine. You got your kill out. You're good for like, yeah, what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you'll be crazy around Christmas.
Yeah, and then like 3 weeks from now, you'll be at Starbucks and you'll be ordering and you'll go, I got to kill this barista. And yeah.
Cool.
And call me.
It'll be the person in front of you that has a half-fat, half-calf soy latte with 3.5 pumps of caramel and make sure you do chocolate sprinkles. Like, those are the people you want to kill at Starbucks.
It's kind of like, never mind.
I almost want to hear where that thought
went. She's got her.
Okay.
It's like a period.
It's kind of like an illusion
to having your period.
If I have to bleed, so does everyone else.
Right, every so often you make other people
bleed. Well, like every 3 to 4 weeks, she's got this crazy bloodlust that she just wants to kill someone. I mean, I'm sure
our men really appreciate that analogy.
Well, sorry, but that's what popped into my head. I was like, why do they have to make it 3 to 4 weeks? Why couldn't it be like...
Fun biological fact. When women are on their periods, their hormone levels are most like men's. So it's not that we get angry, it's that we just get really tired of dealing with everyone else's noise. Yeah.
Hey, men have cycles too,
saying,
guys.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I said,
if I have to bleed, so does everyone else. I'm going to stick with that. I like that.
We do on the Arrow After Show like to impart little biological tidbits to our audience from time to time.
A couple weeks ago, it was about decomposing bodies.
Yeah, now it's menstrual cycles.
Yep.
For a reason.
It's part of life, you guys. Nobody would be here without menstrual cycles, okay? Let it go.
There's that.
Okay. Slam.
I like you.
Can we keep all right. Yeah, all right. Wow.
Ooh.
I think it's time to move on to something else.
Periods. Whatever you want to talk about.
Let's talk about the flashback. We haven't even hit that just yet.
Flashbacks.
Okay, first of all, what happened? And maybe I missed something, but obviously Oliver's trying to help this female out. What is her name? Somebody help
me. The doctor. I don't know.
She's a doctor.
Lady doctor.
Did she take a berry? What did she take to stop?
Because he cracked her jaw somewhere. Yeah. Like, he dislocated her jaw and that made her temporarily dead-ish.
Yeah.
I think it's something to do with, like, the jaw in connection to the neck made it seem like she, yeah.
But here's the thing. Okay, because he said, obviously, we have to do something, you're not going to like it. If he did that and left her there for a long enough period of time, wouldn't she have died? Whether it be, because she didn't look like she was breathing. So even if it was something that cut off the air supply slightly, or even.
Like, I don't think it, because it's like when you put the ball underneath your arm. And it makes it feel like you have no pulse there. I feel like that's just the same. Do you not know that?
No.
You put, like...
What?
But yeah, you put a ball underneath in your armpit, and then it cuts off the circulation for a brief time, so you have no pulse in your arm.
Makes fun facts.
Yeah.
But she also wasn't breathing, though. Like, she had to completely fool this guy.
Yeah, he didn't check for breath. I'm trying to help them out.
There was no
didn't make any sense.
That's why I said berries. Because she made specific... Well, he made specific reference when he said, do this, do this. Don't eat the berries because they blah, 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 blah. But then so I thought maybe it was a berry that...
Then there would be no need for him to do that thing that he did. And then she woke up. That didn't make... I think it'd see if it was like... She woke up and then he snapped it and she's like, oh, thank God, that was so much pain. But yeah,
well, we're
she
getting
woke up from
some
it.
Feedback from the chat saying that Oliver has done this before in season right. one when he was supposed to kill someone for the bratva.
It's a Xena nerve.
Remember when Oliver was almost a Russian mobster for a second?
Right. No, season one was a super long time ago.
Yeah.
I was a different person then.
And we all were.
Yeah, definitely
wooshy
was.
Wooshy finger hold. What is that? Can you please Wooshy. Elaborate?
It's from Kung Fu Panda.
Yes! That's
from. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. That was awesome. Yao had done this to him as well.
It mimics death. Okay. That makes all of the sense.
But unfortunately, okay, who hides their backpack under just a few leaves?
This is what we're talking about their judgment just radically failing them from time
yeah.
to time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. But after he got that message, it was essentially a hot second before that other guy was right on top of him. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a lot of turnaround time between,
but he did
oh shoot, there's a dude.
But once he dropped that lady off and he went back to camp, he had time. He could have done it then. I don't know. The flashbacks for me have always been really convoluted. It's just like, what? He got off the island. Okay, now he's running around in China.
Island.
And now he's back on the island. And now... What? He's going to grow his hair that long in 2 years? Okay. I don't believe you anymore.
Yeah.
I actually really liked your recap of the flashbacks over the course of the season. Serious. Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't... I don't care anymore. I don't need to see flashbacks anymore. I get it. He's back on the island. This is where they will find him now.
Well,
I get it.
Two, he talks about... In the first season, it was 5 years on a hellish island. We come to find out he wasn't the island for 5 years. But... I'll go with you as far as we've got 5 years worth of flashbacks. So if we continue with this show for another couple of years, presumably we're out of stuff to flash back to in another year or so.
So this is season six. Five now.
Four.
Season
four.
This is season four. Okay, so we have one more year of flashbacks number two.
Now we have flash forwards.
Can we just be done?
We
have that too.
Can we just stay in the present? You know,
right.
I love me some flashbacks because they don't happen all the time, but when they do, it's like, ooh, yes, Harrison Wells. Yum, 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 yum. But with Arrow, it's like every single episode, please stop.
Yeah,
please stop. I don't care.
No, it's part of the fabric of the show, though. It's the parallelism that they've been doing, that something that's occurring on the island parallels with something that's happening in the present. So I'm okay with that as a narrative device because they've been doing it, because they find creative ways to use it. I don't mind it. I know everyone goes up the wall and back down again about flashbacks, but I don't mind.
But to me, sometimes the flashbacks do make a lot of sense in that they do parallel very well, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Tonight's, to me, did not. Yeah. There was one reference where you see the bricks of cocaine, and then you see the bricks of...
That was it.
Yeah, and the only other thing was when, I don't know, soldier, sergeant, dude, guy, who Oliver has to prove that he killed somebody, at one point makes the reference saying, you know, you're cold, you're a killer, I can tell, you're this, you're that, and
but
the third.
But we already know this.
Right, but something about his speech, and I don't remember it verbatim, talks about, like, knowing who somebody really is, and then it went directly into when the Lance situation happened, and Oliver gave that fantastic speech about...
But I want
about,
you to see who I really
yeah,
am.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it was such a fantastic line, too. I'm gonna botch it up, but I know you'd said, like, for so long, I just wanted you... Like, one of the reasons I ran for mayor is to show you the kind of man that I am. I didn't expect to find out the kind of man that you are.
Well, the whole thing
that
with, like...
That was a mic drop.
Yeah.
It's just like, and goodbye.
Boom. I think the thing I like most about, and I like both DC and MCU, but DC, there's always like a duality to their superheroes, except Superman, but they should, you know, whatever. Where it is kind of that they can be cold-blooded killers and they can be really good people at the same time. So I see that. I didn't really need the flashback. This it was okay.
You're like, I could have done without.
I'm all right with it.
It's just, to me, especially, and we don't know too much time before we get to whatever they're going to be flashing back to next season. But again, it's the more we see that he went through, especially when we start getting to the point in the flashbacks where it's just before he comes home, and then if you were so inclined, you could do a super cut of all the flashback stuff, jump into the beginning of season one, and then continue his journey that way. Why did none of this stuff come up before?
Yeah.
And not some of it, yeah, if there's no reason
and
to talk about it, why would we talk about it?
Still not come up.
There, and the closer we get to where we met him at the beginning of the series, to me, the more conspicuous that is.
Mm. Yeah.
That's part of the problem with retroactive writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to fit things in. They're like, this totally happened. But what about, no, this is what happened now. You roll with it. I'm a Red versus Blue fan. You have to roll with it because there's no way it fits.
Or you could just be really good like Josh Whedon and do a Buffy and have that crap already in place. So 5 years later, you're like, oh, see when I referenced this?
We can't all be Whedon.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't all be Whedon.
Sometimes
that's a good thing.
I think it works well. I remember in season two, when you had the present-day story with Slade and the flashbacks with Slade, it helps deepen the bond between the characters.
I think they already had that kind of like set up, though.
But not all of the flashback stories have that. So I understand they're there because they have to be there, almost.
Well, and we had good parallels for last season's flashbacks as well. Even then, I was super good with last season's flashbacks.
Yeah, and it's still tied into Ra's al Ghul.
We're four episodes in now, and we don't have any tie-ins yet, but I'm willing to wait.
It has something to do with the woman. Like, if nothing else, when they put her in, I was like, okay, so she'll be in present time very soon.
The woman, the general as well, we need something that ties into Dark. Like, there has to be something going on. We just don't have a large enough picture yet.
Right. And I alluded to last week, Ryder, the twitchy fellow that's commanding this unit, is this universe's version of Baron Blitzkrieg. I don't know that they'd make such a deal about saying, yes, this is who this character is, we're using this character to tell this part of the story, if we were only going to see him in a scene or two and he just get super twitchy and yell a little bit. So I would agree. I would assume that there will be a lot more coming. I don't know what that is yet. Maybe more magical plants?
Sorry, guys, I'm just reading some of the things that are going on in the library.
We also have about a 45 to 60 second delay on the live chat.
Oh,
so,
is that
that's
okay.
Because of the stream. So,
just like
can
all
we
lost
talk
references.
About Thea knowing Oliver wanted to propose? Thank you, Jesse. And let's
was
talk
that
about
the line about,
wait,
the
okay,
line about that, she's not wearing it.
It's like, you're not wearing it. Where is it? And everyone else kind of goes, what? And I'm like, oh my God, I've done this before.
I didn't. Okay, you guys are going to think I'm stupid. But I was like, is she supposed to be getting a new costume? What?
I had the same thought. Okay. And then I was like, wait. Think about it like a girl. Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, of course, they know about the ring because who's the closest woman to Oliver at the time? It's like Thea. I need to go shopping for a ring. You understand girly things, and I can't talk to Laurel right now.
You think he told her about it?
Oh, because
it didn't seem like they had been talking.
No,
when he was gone.
I'm sure he told her about it in some capacity. It might have been after they got back.
They're close.
I'm not surprised that she knows.
But you know what's
weird,
though?
As his only remaining family, I am not surprised.
But Felicity's reaction wasn't a very confused, like, huh? What? It was, I don't know. That's why I didn't think anything about it.
Felicity also fails her wisdom rolls a lot. If her getting married isn't on her mind, if proposal isn't on her mind, she's thinking about this city. She's thinking about the fact that her setup is not where it needs to be. And when you're a tech person and your tech is failing, that's like 95% of your thoughts. This needs to be fixed now. I'm going crazy.
I don't think it's something that's really occurred to Felicity. That's something that
he would
come
ask.
Up. Yeah, that he would ask.
Yeah.
And of course, Laurel is the one who is like, what did you think that she was wearing? I'm like, oh, but, the X, ouch.
Yeah.
Do you think that would hurt her at this point in the game?
Oh, no.
Really? No.
He slept with her sister. I mean, come on, get over it. Like,
she's dealing with zombie stuff. And
She's been dealing with zombie stuff.
Laurel is so over it, she's at 30,000 feet and has put down her tray table and her reclining seat.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like the visual. Okay.
And she slept with his best friend.
Yeah,
like, I don't think anyone can really get too hung up on any of that with each other.
Whatever.
You just go out and punch people and you feel better.
So many characters, yeah.
Anyway. They need to introduce more people.
Yeah. I mean, some of these people, well, that's a totally different topic. I was like, some of these people need love interest, but...
Maybe they do, but how do you date outside that circle without putting the person you're dating in constant danger?
You don't.
Exactly.
He was having enough trouble dating inside that circle at the beginning of season 3 when that one-off gangster put a tracker on his suit and tried to blow up the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that, like, just the superhero dilemma? Don't they still want to date?
Everyone needs love.
And we've discovered more than once when it comes to comics and familial relationships and people getting married and whatnot, that it is okay, if not better, to have people who are in stable relationships. They don't just need to be a hero all on their own with no support, because, holy cow, you'd go insane from the loneliness. So, it's... And we had all of last season with Oliver trying to figure out, is there a balance between Oliver Queen and the Arrow? Can I be both? How do I do that? And that's why we had Felicity with Palmer for so long, because Oliver was unable to balance that. And we're seeing him doing a lot better with that this season, that he's accepted both parts of him and that he needs to maintain that balance to maintain a relationship. So him being willing to propose is him saying, okay, I think I got this. I think we can do this. Let's go.
How many of you guys actually... This is slight prediction territory-ish, but do you guys think it's actually going to happen this season?
No, because somebody's going to die.
So. I think she'll find the ring before he has a chance to propose. I mean, it's in the little glass thing on the coffee table.
Which is ridiculous.
Right there. All she has to do is put her iPad down and then look at it and go...
What's that?
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's been brought up far too many times for it to not be paid off somehow. But I would be shocked if they're a very special Arrow wedding. You know what I mean? I don't see that happening.
Just because you get engaged doesn't mean you get married right away either.
We've had a few weddings. We've had one wedding.
Diggles.
There's still been weddings.
Yes, but it's typically...
No, two. We had Nanda Parbat.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, are they still married?
I
never answered that question.
It was never consummated.
I can't see...
We had that sister-in-law crack because Nyssa can't let things go.
Well, I can't see a League of Assassins marriage being legally binding.
Sorry. But just
And it was never consummated, so there you go, done.
That's why marriage is gross. Marriage is gross because it's like, it's not really a real marriage until it's consummated. It's like this, like, sexual contract. I'm sorry. It's just
that's
gross.
Another show.
Honestly, that's just my running joke for that ridiculous marriage, because it was a farce.
Yes.
Oh, were you going to say something?
What?
No. Okay, so anyways. Really quick, I was going to say, this is your last opportunity. If there is anything else that you guys would like us to bring up that maybe we skipped out on, you can also put it into our live chat. We'll talk about that before we get into news and gossip.
Who do you think Dark's daughter is?
Yes. Did we know before this that he was a father? Because when he said from father to father, I went, huh?
I don't think he's mentioned it before.
The going theory is that he is Felicity's father.
Okay.
I highly doubt that's the case.
It makes that world very small as well.
Too small.
Yeah.
Plus, you would think that Mom would have brought it up before now.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, like, by the way, your dad is this really rich dude. Like, by the way, your dad is this. No, she just kind of,
maybe he pulled, like, a Zeus and he came to her like a common man, not a goat, but like a common man.
How long ago was Dark in the League of Assassins, and for how long was he in the League of Assassins?
But does Felicity even know who her, like...
No,
I don't know. Like, they never explained, like, Mom and Dad got divorced when I was 2, or whatever, or Mom had a one-night stand. Like, we don't know. Right?
I'm not sure they've addressed it. So, I am perfectly okay with it not being Dark and being just someone. Or maybe we're introducing a new character and it's that guy and it's Dad. I don't know. I am perfectly okay with widening the circle a little bit.
Absolutely.
It'd be cool if it was like Damien Dark and Felicity Smoke. Sorry. Yeah.
But also, I like Felicity, and I don't want to have to watch her deal with learning that Daddy is like a supernatural genocidal maniac.
I like that. Thank you.
I just, this poor, she's already been through so much, this poor girl.
These people have enough
life,
baggage.
Man.
Just give her one season where nothing horrible happens to her specifically.
That would not be Arrow.
No, that's not Arrow at all.
I'm holding out hope for this thing that I know is not going to come
then,
to pass.
You know what? Then go put Felicity on The Flash.
Oh, she'd be so happy over there.
She would.
Yeah,
she
nobody would. Ever dies on The Flash.
Well, you know, it's not as dark. It's not, it really isn't. It really is not as, I mean, it's pretty dark, but it's not as dark.
Right.
You know.
Like I said, nobody ever dies on The Flash.
Put it on
People
Legends
are dropping
tomorrow.
Like
no
flies
die, no.
this season.
Yeah.
It's wild. People are dropping like they're in Arrow this season. But I don't think that's going to be the case just because it makes everything too small. Mm-hmm. It heightens the drama in ways that it doesn't need to go. It would be poor execution at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, maybe it's one of the Lance sisters. Maybe they're really not.
You know. Somebody actually mentioned that in the feed earlier. But I do say we need to get into our news and gossip so we can start wrapping things up.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Which actually I have on my phone. Oh, okay. So we know that Stephen Amell is a huge advocate for the F Cancer campaign, and this is his new hoodie for this year. I do believe that this is only, it was on sale for like 3 weeks, and this potentially, I believe, is the last week it is on sale. So that's the new design.
Is this picture of him in a baseball cap and sunglasses?
Yep. It is, and I believe he is flipping off. No, I don't think it's a thumbs up. I do believe it's a
it's
middle
a bird.
Finger.
No,
yeah.
It's a thumbs up.
Oh,
thumbs
is it?
It is. It's a thumbs up.
I don't think
up.
They could sell it if it was a bird.
I would have had to blur it out.
Oh, you know, they did make references to it being more family friendly, but when I saw that it's still F cancer, I didn't. Anyways. Okay, go ahead. Let's go on to the next picture. Just, you know, show some support. Oh, Mama Smoke. So Mama Smoke is coming back, I do believe, for two more episodes. So it's a total of four that she'll be on.
Yeah.
Total. But yeah, I love her. Charlotte Ross is really cool. She actually came into studio for Hit the Floor, and maybe, I don't know, we can get her in again. Well, let's go to the next.
And Damian Darius.
And how cute are they? Okay, first of all, how cute are they? They would be the best couple. Anyways.
Well, maybe. Somebody said hashtag get Lance.
You can ship that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, so Knocking Point. You all know, if you're a fan of Stephen Amell, that he has his own wine, him and his friend. And this is just something that I grabbed off of the website because there is going to be a wine mixer in San Jose. So if you live anywhere close to that area, you can buy tickets to go and meet Stephen Amell because he's always there. And I just have a few screenshots of some of the things that you can get because when you are a member, everything is based around Arrow. If you're not familiar with the wine company, from the names to the wines to you get a little comic book adventure that goes along with things. There's socks, there's just random stuff. And this is actually, there is a local superhero who, she goes into hospitals, there'll be a picture of her, but basically she goes into hospitals to cheer up sick children and she dresses as Supergirl. So she went on the news and she challenged Stephen Amell, there's a picture of her, she challenged him. It was basically a friendly rager over a baseball game. If her team wins, then she'll help him raise money for whatever cause he's passionate about, but if her team, reverse.
Can you go back a shot?
Yeah.
Because it gives the team names. The Royals versus the
Blue Jays. Right. And so if
that's
his,
not the current World Series, is it?
I don't know. I just know that
the
I
Royals
just...
No, no, no. It's the Royals versus the Mets.
And the Mets. Okay.
All I know is that if Stephen Amell loses, then he'll help her with her
it's
charity.
That game already.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's helping her because the Royals are in the series, and he's a Jays fan, isn't he?
Oh, and maybe that's why he accepted the challenge, you know? But anyways, these are just other pictures that, they're a little bit out of order, but it's Charlotte Ross that's with Emily Bett. Mm. They're really cute. Really cute. Anyways, let's move on.
They're also wearing baseball caps.
They are. Is that all I got?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I didn't send you any video links, did I? No, I did not.
But not that I got.
Okay, so that's just those are our fun pictures for this evening. That's all I got for news.
Really quick,
I'm bringing this up on Twitter because Ryan Wattallison brought it up. The ring was their mother's, so Thea would likely know about it.
Okay.
Oh. That does.
Would she notice it's missing?
No, Oliver would get permission from her. Oh. Hey, it's mom's ring. Is it okay if I do X, Y, and Z?
Mm.
That makes sense.
Really quick before we move on, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but if anybody out there has seen our friend Colton Haynes, the once and possibly future Roy Harper, his Halloween costume.
He always is amazing stuff.
If we don't have a picture of it right now, but if you're listening or watching us, go do a Google search for Colton Haynes Nip Slip Ursula.
What?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. He went to... It's really, really cool. I don't know that we'd actually be able to show it because it's a little not safe for work, but it's quite good.
I mean, if our engineer happens to Google come across
it, I was going to write it in there, and I was like, I don't know if I want to write Nip Slip Ursula in there just in case.
When I'm here like that, it's probably not a super good plan. Colton. So guys, but
guys
you
at
do
home,
that on your own.
Check it out because it's a very impressive costume you put together.
Cool. He always is full out for Halloween anyways. P.S. Oh, I did do a Boys and Beauty on Colton Haynes, so if you get a chance, look that one up if you love him. And yeah, that's all I got. Like I said, for news, if anybody wants to move on to predictions, we can do that.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I love the light show.
Is that why we're Googling? Googling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways, nice. Okay, so predictions. Does anybody want to jump in on that? Jump in.
I think you should. Start us off. Start us off.
Okay, let me give it some thought here, guys. I know everybody keeps saying that Detective Lance is going to be the one that's in the grave, and even Paul Blackthorne has talked about it, and he said, you know what? It's been a good run. If that's what it is what it is.
Oh, then it's definitely not him.
But I feel like it's just too much of an obvious choice, just because of the way the storyline is going now. The producers never, ever make it that blatant for us to be able to guess. So I feel like it's going to be a wild card as far as that's concerned.
I don't think they know yet.
They don't. Actually, you're right. You're right. I read something because all of the actors have been talking about, well, I hope it's not me, this, that, and third. But you know what? That could be a lie. And what they could have done, because they did this on Hit the Floor, what James LaRosa, the creator of that show, did in particular is he had every single character film as if they were the murderer. That was like the big thing for this particular season is who killed such and such. And he wanted to keep it such a secret, or possibly maybe he wanted the option to change his mind. So he had literally every main character at film as if they were the killer, and none of them found out till they saw the season finale live on television. So that's also a possibility that maybe all of them have done the option of, well, maybe Felicity, maybe it's Laurel, maybe it's, and that's why they're going, we don't know.
They did that on Scandal too.
Oh, really?
When it came down to like James and David. Like, there's a shot, and then it went to mid-season, it was a mid-season finale. And the actors didn't know until, like, the week they were supposed to start back up, and they called the guy who played James, and they're like, so it was you.
You're like, oh, no!
So we need you to come in and, like, die. Like, that's your final episode. It's
wow,
like,
what a way to get fired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or let off, I guess you could say, not fired. But
people have been saying that they want Merlin to die, and didn't he just sign like a 7-season contract or something? They love him.
Yeah, he
in this show. Love him?
They absolutely love Barrowman, and they love Merlin as a character. So I would be, I think the two people that they can't get rid of are Oliver and Merlin.
Well, here's what I think, too, though. Somebody had made reference to this on one of our Twitter conversations, but they were saying if it was Felicity, because at first everyone was like, oh my God, it's Felicity, now he's going to want revenge. Even though Oliver can be very stoic at times, he's still human, and if this woman whom he plans on trying to propose to dies, I seriously doubt he's just going to sit at her grave and be like... And then on top of that, too, for Barry, he's obviously somebody who's very close to her as well, too. So even while Oliver is that I keep my emotions on the inside, I don't see Barry as being that character.
Yeah,
and he would
be
like, sorry, man.
I was dealing with Zoom.
Well, and also, not for nothing, Barry and Merlin met for longer than maybe a second when Barry shows up in Nandaparbat for a minute there in season 3. So I imagine he'd call Barry, he'd say, oh, Malcolm Merlin was killed, and Barry would go, well, who?
Well, Barry's the kind of guy who would show up just for moral
support. His friend, sure.
So I don't think we can say, does Barry know him? It's a clue as to figuring out who might be in the grave, because Barry would hear that this happened and he would show up for funeral, gravesite, etc., just to kind of be like, sorry, bro.
Right.
Like, my sympathies, my support. And my favorite tweet of the night is from Gillian Davila. It's me. I'm in the grave. Bless you.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap this theory with one final, like, off-the-wall prediction. Mm-hmm. What if it was somebody like Nyssa? No one's super emotionally attached to her.
She wouldn't be
Sarah is.
Well, yeah.
And Sarah's going to be back to herself next episode. So,
you just said she wouldn't be buried there. I don't think the League of Assassins would be like, yeah, send her to some people over there in Star City and have her be buried in a Star City cemetery.
Okay, fine, guys. Fine. Ruin my theory. Go.
I just did.
A plane crashes on the border of the United States and Canada. Where are the survivors buried?
Honestly, I've been saying the same thing for the entire season so far. I'm really excited for next week. I'm not even thinking past next week. After next week, I'll go, yes, who died? Very sad. But I'm just really excited for all of what I assume is coming. And I'm really excited to see the character of Constantine interact, A, with all of these other characters, but also I think what they've done with Arrow specifically on the CW is so much more tonally in line with that character than what they were able to do on NBC. So I'm hoping that they take full advantage of that and we can see more of Constantine being Constantine, because if I didn't mention, I'm very excited.
You want him for more than just episode 5.
I would love it if he's there forever now.
Sign me up.
If he just, I don't care if he has anything to do, or if he just hangs out in the cave and smokes, and they just pass him, and he goes, and that's it. I'm
the
down.
The problem is the salt level of the entire series is going to rise about 500% next episode.
Amazing?
And that's unsustainable. I love salty stuff, but eventually you burn your taste buds
off. You could fill an entire episode with Oliver and Constantine just glowering at each other, and it would be riveting.
Your look
Someone
on your face doesn't say so. Right? A little bit of a man crush there.
Oh.
But go ahead.
Constantine. Yes. I'm not that excited to see Constantine.
just I'm sorry.
Because I'm like, this is going to be awful. I loved the movie Constantine, which a lot of people are like, ew, why? But it was actually very well done. And then when I saw it as a TV show, I was like, ooh, what? This is so NBC just like, they either have Hannibal, which they just were like, okay, you do what you want. Or they have Constantine, where it's like,
don't do anything you want.
We know you should probably be doing more, but we're not going to let you do it. So I'm going to be curious to see what they're going to do with it. But with that said, I also think it's Thea or Diggle in the grave. And next week, I don't know, just bring Sarah back. I'm tired of her, like, sitting in the corner.
Right.
those are my predictions.
Is it worth it to do what you want if you got to do it with Keanu Reeves?
Well, and not for nothing. And I'm not knocking the movie. I don't really have strong feelings about the movie one way or the other. But that's nothing like the character from the books.
Keanu's same
face. I'm not saying that I think it's anything like the books. I was saying in terms of, and ignoring Keanu Reeves, whatever, in terms of the darkness that they were able to go with it, and the guy who was able to portray the devil, like
that,
all of that, which is awesome.
That is closer.
So I was like, there's no way they're going to do that with NBC, and they didn't.
Right, of course. So. Which is why I'm hoping they can take all of those elements a little bit further, and we'll see how much, if at all, he's around beyond this episode.
Yeah. Well, and maybe CW will pick up the series. Maybe Netflix will. Well, no, Netflix kind of has a Marvel thing going on, doesn't it? Who knows? There are other shows. Are you seriously asking where the survivors are buried? They're survivors. You don't bury survivors. That was the joke.
That's like a dad riddle.
I know. I got it from my dad. What do I predict? I honestly, at this point, I have no idea who's in the grave. I think I'm still going to stick with Lance for now because it's that perfect level of drama and yikes. I don't think Dark is going to really start moving in as a huge, directly involved with everything threat until mid-season finale or just before. I'm not even sure that Dark is the one responsible for the grave. It might not be him, it might be someone else, we just don't know.
Sure.
Again, we have the Baron playing in the background. He's going to come back eventually, we don't know how yet. Mm. Right now, we're looking at a bunch of pieces, and we don't have... We got a 100-piece puzzle, we got 3 pieces put together, and we lost the box with a picture on it.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to put things together, but we don't have context for it yet.
Right.
I do think that Sarah's going to kill someone while she's out painting the town red.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes. When slash if slash definitely when she gets her soul back.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention the fact that she escaped.
Oh yeah, she's out there.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. She's running amok.
Boy, you think someone in the fastest train
immediately showed us
that
they get her back?
Oh,
so it's kind of like, okay, right. She'll be gone for all of 2 minutes, and they'll find her. But
it's not going to be hard to find someone with animalistic instincts and murder.
Yeah, yeah. Poor, these poor day players populating Star City right now.
That's why everyone's leaving.
Yeah,
just
really.
The city is hell. All you need is the zombie apocalypse now. They've had everything else.
It'll happen.
It might happen.
It'll happen. It'll happen, guys. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. For those of you in the live chat, thank you for offering your opinions to us. And for the rest of you, we hope to see you next week. I'm Allie Kona Bradford. Don't forget to follow me at BoysInBeauty01 and check out the rest of these fabulous hosts.
I am Lex Michael. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, all the things at the Lex Michael.
I'm Adrian Snow on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow, MSADRIENSNOW.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am on so many of the shows, you guys. Minority Report on Mondays, Blind Spot on Tuesdays, Star Wars Rebels before this panel, and guys, Ruby is back next week.
She just lives here. That's all. She just lives here. Anyways, thanks again, guys. We will see you next time. Mwah. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.